Judges chapter 13. You know, God does say that it's appointed unto a man once to die, but after this the judgment, there certainly is a day of judgment for all of us. We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. So better we judge ourselves now, the Bible says, and that no man can judge us. Judges 13:24, but that's not the message. Let's stand together, please. Let me read a few verses here. 13, beginning in verse 24. And the woman bare a son, and called his name Samson. The child grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. Let me preach to you tonight the life of Samson. The life of Samson. Let's pray. Father, I pray for your help tonight, Lord. Such a needy people. We have a God in heaven that loves us, and we have a Lord, an infinite well of wisdom right here before us in your word, and the Holy Spirit dwelling in our hearts. So Father, please meet the need in every heart tonight. Help me to be a blessing to your people. Oh God, I love them so much, and I know they're tired. Lord, help me to not get in the way of what you want to do in their hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. There's a well-known saying in our world today, and it's something like this: seeing is believing. Seeing is believing. And can I tell you something? That the Word of God says the complete opposite. The Word of God says that hearing is believing. We hear, then we believe, then we see God's power. Amen. That's the process when it comes to God. For example, when you got saved, amen, are you saved tonight? Say amen. Amen. When you got saved, you heard, you didn't see anything, you heard the Word of God, you heard the Holy Spirit, still small voice, convicting you, you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you began to see the power of God making changes in your life. Yeah. Amen. Amen, that's how it works. Psalm 27 verse 13 says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So I have to believe God first, and then by faith I step out and do what God says, trusting and obeying, and then I see God work. That's how it works in God's economy. Romans chapter 10 verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by
hearing.
Hearing by the Word of God. Now, keep your place here in Judges 13. We'll be back, but turn over with me to Luke. Luke chapter 16. I want to show you something here. Luke chapter 16 and verse 19 and following. Luke chapter 16, verse 19 and following. Matthew, Mark, Luke, there in the New Testament. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Now that's just absolute disgusting picture. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Notice, no angels carrying him. Verse 23, in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus, the poor beggar, Lazarus, in Abraham's bosom. And he cried, the rich man cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue. I'm tormented in this flame. Listen, there is no end to the torment in hell. And this man, notice, this man is in hell, tormented, but he's still very conscious. Verse 25, but Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, but likewise Lazarus evil things. And now he is comforted, but thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf. That means a great ditch, a great bottomless pit, really. Fixed. It's fixed. It cannot be moved. So that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Now, why would somebody want to pass from comfort unto torment? Well, the fact is because they want to go down there and probably and try to rescue the ones that are in there, but there's no way to do that. Once you're dead, your eternity is set forever. Amen? So your destination is eternally set. But he says there in verse 26, there's a great gulf fixed. They which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, then the rich man said to Abraham, I pray thee, therefore, listen now, this is what I was getting to. I pray thee, now the rich man decides to start praying. Isn't that interesting? I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, my earthly father's house. I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, listen, this is what I'm getting to. Pay attention now, watch this. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them what? Hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, listen now, watch this, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. What he's saying to that rich man in hell, listen now, is that they have the Bible.
Amen.
If they don't hear the Bible and get saved by hearing the Word of God, they're not going to get saved. Even if they saw a risen dead man still smoking from the flames of hell, they're not going to repent if they don't get right from this book. So here's what the world says. The world says, well, I've got to see to believe. I've got to, you know, and so many even people in churches today that aren't grounded in the Bible, they're still looking for signs. You're still looking for open doors, and you're still looking for perfect opportunities. You need to look in the Bible, amen, because there's where you're going to find the faith that you need. Now, Abraham says something very interesting. He said, if they don't hear the Bible, nothing's going to change them.
That's right.
That gives me great comfort many times, because there are some people that I really just can't seem to get through to. Maybe you know some people like that. And I think, God, you just need to do something to... Then I realize, if that book doesn't change them, nothing's going to change them.
That's right.
So what I need to do, I need to pray that that book gets more and more and deeper in their heart. But the fact I want to pull out of this, is that we need to stop looking for things that we can see and believe what we hear in this book. Okay, faith, the Word of God. Now go back, I'm getting somewhere. This is just all introduction. Go back to Judges. Now, verse 24, we saw Samson was born. Judges 13. Samson was born and he grew, and the Bible says the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times. In other words, the Spirit of the Lord began to move him and lead him and use him in different camps there. But look now, verse 14, the next chapter, verse 1. Chapter 14, verse 1. God was working in this young man's life. Okay? And Samson, verse 1 of chapter 14, went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Now, God's blessing young Samson's life. God's using him. God's moving him. God's filling him. God's blessing him. God's working in his life. And so many times, listen to me, when people first get saved or when they first really get back and revived again and God working in their heart and he wants to use, listen, God wants to use every one of us for his honor and glory. And to me, listen, I don't know, maybe you don't understand, but for me, that's all I want. God, just use me. Use me. Here I am, Lord. Use me. Don't refuse me. Lord, use me. I want God to use me for more people to get saved. I want God to use me for more Christians to get stronger and rooted in their faith. I want God to use me to help my wife and my children. I just want to be a tool in the master's hand. That's all I want. And listen, God was using Samson, but it says something very sad here in verse 1 of chapter 14. Samson went down and saw. The things that we see, listen to me tonight, the things that we see begin with the places we take our eyes.
Yeah.
Hold your place and go over here to Psalm 101. Everybody okay tonight? Y'all understand so far? Okay, I got to give you, it's a long introduction and a short message. Psalm 101. Psalm 101 verse 1. I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself. Boy, isn't that great? See, when mom and dad look at you and say, behave yourself, we didn't make that up. That comes from the Bible, amen? I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Now listen. Setting verse 3 says, I will set no wicked thing before my what? My eyes. You know who that's up to? That's up to you, friend.
Yeah.
Now, you sometimes you got to drive and look around, but it really boils down to you deciding what you set before your eyes.
Amen.
Notice this psalm has a lot to say about what we set before our eyes. Remember, I'm talking about the difference between seeing, believing, and hearing and believing, okay? The difference between what we see and what we hear. The Bible has a lot to say about what we see. Samson went down and saw, and everything began to fall apart in his life. Listen now. Psalm 101 says, if I set no wicked thing before mine eyes, it will result in me singing unto the Lord. Look in verse 1. I will sing of mercy. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. It will result in me behaving myself, listen, wisely. Verse 2. Wisely. It says, I will walk within my house. It will result in me behaving wisely even at home when nobody's watching. Listen, the Christian life is not about you trying to impress your preacher.
Right. Amen.
It's not about you trying to make it look good while you're at church.
Yeah.
It's about you and God. It's between you and God.
Amen.
And if I'm be careful not to set any wicked thing before my eye, I'm going to behave myself wisely, even at home when nobody else is watching.
Yeah. Amen.
The preacher's not there, or mom and dad aren't there, or brother and sister, whoever. And this is, so if I'm setting no wicked thing before my eyes, I'm singing, I'm behaving myself wisely, even in private. Look in verse 2. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I'm longing for God's presence.
Amen.
I mean, I can't wait. I come to church longing for God to speak to me. I read my Bible in the morning, at night, before I go to bed, during the day when I get a chance, longing for God to speak to me. I long for God's presence. All of this has to do with what I'm setting before my eyes.
Yeah.
Look, I hate and I remove the works of the transgressors around me. Verse 3, I hate the work of them that set it. No, you don't hate the person. You hate what that person's doing. You hate what that person's, the way they're behaving, because they're turning aside. Look, it shall not cleave to me. I can't control what you do, my friend. You can't control what I do. But the fact is, we can control what cleaves to us. And it comes down to what I do with my eyes.
Yeah.
Are y'all listening to me tonight? I'm trying to hurry because I've got a lot to say, but I don't want you to miss anything. If I don't set anything before my eyes that's wicked, I sing louder than I usually do. I behave. By the way, when it's time to sing, you know whether you have a song in your heart or not.
Yeah.
Amen.
And you ought to right then and there realize, man, something's not right. Now you say, well, I don't know the songs, preacher. I understand all that. But there's nobody in here that's only been here once or twice. You've been here plenty of times. We sing the same set of songs. And one day you're singing, and the next day you're like, you know, the song hasn't changed. The Lord hasn't changed. Something's wrong in here. And I bet you can go back and look, and there's something that you're looking at that's robbing you of your song. I'm hurrying, but I don't want, listen, maybe I'll just not finish this, but the Psalm 101 says that based on what I set before my eyes, I'm even, look, verse 4, a froward heart shall depart from me. I set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I'm going to cast out. A froward heart means a perverse heart, an evil heart, a wicked heart. Lamentations 3:51 says, mine eye affected my heart. Pay attention now. What you look at, my friend, affects your heart. Good or bad. I'm hurrying, but I want you to think about, and some of you already are, I can see your minds wandering. Well, what have I looked at today? What have I looked at this week? And good, I'm glad you're thinking about that, because that's the whole point of the message. But look, when I set no wicked thing before mine eyes, it also says I'll separate myself, verse 4, I will not know a wicked person. I will not be the friend of a wicked person. I will not hang out with those that are wicked. I will separate myself. Now, I can't make them go away, but I sure can leave.
Yeah.
Now, all of these things are based on what I'm looking at with my eyes. Can I say right here that when I do set wicked things before my eyes, all the opposite things happen. I no longer sing praises unto the Lord. I don't behave wisely, especially when nobody's looking. I don't long for God's presence. It convicts me too much.
Right.
Matter of fact, I'm just not going to go to church because that Bible, man, it just keeps on convicting me. When I do look at things I'm not supposed to look at, I don't hate the works of iniquity because, after all, I'm participating.
Yeah.
So why am I going to hate it? When I do look at things that are wicked, my heart gets perverse, forward, wicked. And I'm drawn to those that accept me because I feel like everybody at church is talking about me. Nobody at church is talking about you. It's the Holy Spirit convicting you. But see, you feel like everybody's talking about me. Nobody loves me anymore. They just don't look at me the way they used to. I don't even know what's going on. Nobody else does either. So really what's happening is you're convicted. So you got to decide, I'm going to get right, or I'm just going to find somebody that will accept me. And they will accept you, especially when they're doing what you do.
Right.
But when you get around holy people that are trying to live right, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit of God is piercing and preaching, and you say, well, nobody loves me anymore. Well, that's not true at all, and you know that. Why would we not love you anymore? My soul, the only thing that this Bible ever tries to do is help us.
Amen.
That's right.
But yet you begin to have a froward and perverse heart, and you begin to be more comfortable around sinners.
Yeah.
See, and it all boils down to what you're looking at. Well, and like I said a minute ago, your eyes only go where you take them. Now, I have to drive down a certain road, and here's the thing. If I look at a billboard one time and it's like gross, okay. But if I look back, then that's on me.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen, preacher. If I look at a half-naked woman, men, oh, then I look back, that's on me.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
My eyes are under my control.
That's right, yeah.
My eyes go where I take them.
Right.
Samson went down and saw.
Yeah.
And from that point on, listen to me, his whole life began to crumble. I'm trying to get through this, but his whole life began to crumble. See, when I take my eyes from house to house with gospel tracts, you know what I see? I see sinners who need a Savior. When I take my eyes to the Word of God, you know what I see? I see myself as the worm that I am. And I'm not so arrogant anymore. When I take my eyes to the house of God, I begin to see who really does love me. I'm not so worried about everybody else out there not accepting me because I realize I've got a family here. When I take my eyes to my prayer closet and I close them in prayer to my Heavenly Father, I begin to see the God who loved me and gave Himself for me. When I take my eyes to my checkbook after that, I see a lost and dying world that needs more missionaries. And then when I take my eyes to my wife and my children, I see a family who needs me to be a man and act like a man, not a mouse. And then when I take my eyes to the movie houses and the bar rooms, I realize this is evil, this is wicked. I'm not coming back here. When I take my eyes, by the way, you take your eyes. Nobody takes them out of your head and makes them go. You take your eyes wherever they look. Before David committed adultery with Bathsheba, he looked upon her with his eyes. Before Eve ate of that forbidden tree, you remember that in the Garden of Eden, she looked at it. Lot's wife just looked back to Sodom. And she turned into a pillar of salt. Why? Because that proved, listen, because that proved where her heart was.
Yeah.
But you know, many times we're not looking at sin necessarily, but here's what happens. When Saul's army was looking at Goliath, they became worthless to God. They no longer fought. They no longer did anything for God. You know why? Because their eyes were firmly focused on their problems instead of on the problem solver. Did y'all catch that? Their eyes were firmly focused on the enemy and the burdens. Listen, we all have burdens. They're not a soul. I mean, maybe these kids don't understand what a burden is necessarily, but every one of us knows what it means to carry a burden.
Yeah.
To carry a heartache. But we can't take our eyes and focus them on our burdens all day long, or we're just going to be rendered worthless for God. Listen, they looked at Goliath all day long and they just laid there and did nothing about it. They just let him curse God and curse God and curse God and they did nothing. We can't just lay around. Hey, you remember Jesus' disciples? He got arrested that night in the garden, remember? And every one of them forsook him and fled. Every one of them. Why? Because there was a problem. There was something they didn't like that was happening. And so they were concerned about themselves. Instead of staying with Jesus, instead of staying beside Jesus, they fled. Every one of them ran away. But because of what they saw. Because if you remember correctly, he had already told them, I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be crucified. But 3 days later, I'm going to rise again. Amen. He had already told them that. But instead of believing what they heard, they were living by what they saw. Are you listening to me tonight? I'm trying to help you. I really am trying to help you. Go back to Judges quickly. Judges chapter 14 again, verse 1. Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Listen, the Philistines always have been, still are, fierce enemies of God. Fierce enemies of God. Goliath was a Philistine. Okay? So, Samson went to the wrong place, took his eyes to the wrong place, saw the wrong thing. He saw a woman of the enemy's family. He took his eyes to the wrong place. He saw the wrong thing. His entire life began to crumble. Now listen, God still used him at times, but Samson's life was, listen, don't miss this. Watch me now. He was continually filled with strife and turmoil from this verse till his death. I'm going to show you. He lost his first wife. Look in chapter 15, verse 1. It came to pass within a while after, in the time of wheat harvest, Samson visited his wife. He married that woman that he liked down and he saw in the Philistines. He married her. Samson visited his wife with a kid. That's a goat. That's not a baby. And he said, I'll go into my wife into the chamber. But her father would not suffer him to go in. Her father said, I verily thought that thou hast utterly hated her. Therefore I gave her to thy companion. Is not her younger sister fairer than she? Take her, I pray thee, instead of her. So we've got his dad taking away his wife and giving her to another man. What a mess. But not only that, but that woman and her father were later burned to death. Now this is his wife. Verse 6. Then the Philistines said, "Who hath done this?" And they answered, "Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he had taken his wife and given her to his companion." Notice, the Philistines came up and burnt her and her father with fire. Well, that's a good start, isn't it? My first wife is given to another man, and then she and her father are burned with fire. Now, chapter 16, verse 1. All of this started when he went down to the wrong place and began looking at the wrong thing. Chapter 16, verse 1. Then went Samson to Gaza, and there and Saul. Now, Gaza is also Philistine country. So he goes to Gaza, Philistine country again, down, and Saul there and harlot, and went in unto her. Okay, so he's doing the exact same thing again. Okay, then he fell in love with another harlot named Delilah. Look in verse 4. It came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. She was also of the Philistines. Her very name means becoming weak or feeble. I don't know if you're following me. I hope you are. I'm just trying to be real, real, real basic tonight. But when you follow what you see, instead of what you know to be true, instead of what you know to be right, and when you live by what you see instead of what you hear from God's Word, it's always going to end up, sooner or later, making you weak and feeble and frail and worthless. Okay, do you get the picture so far? Okay. Now, Samson was a strong man, a mighty man that God used to judge his people, but you see the downward progression of his life all because he took his eyes to the wrong place and began looking at the wrong thing. He fell in love with Delilah. He became weak or feeble. Now listen, look in verse 5 of chapter 16. The lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said, unto her, "Entice him. See wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver." So she sold out to his enemies, listen, to help them find the secret of his strength, so they could destroy him. Now, Samson put himself in this predicament, following his eyes. Okay? She sold out. Three times in this chapter, I don't have time to read it all. Three times in this chapter, she asked him, "Samson, what's the secret of your strength?" Three times he told her something, a lie. But every single time she asked him and he told him, the Philistines showed up that very night with whatever he lied to, and they tried to use it against him. Now, what am I saying to you? He either had to be absolutely crazy, or he was so rebellious against God that he absolutely had no wisdom to see what was going on. Now, hold your place, and I'll be back to Judges 16. I want to show you a couple verses in Proverbs chapter 21. Am I going too fast for y'all? Y'all okay tonight? Okay. Have I lost anybody? Okay, I hope not. Proverbs 21, verse 30. I don't want to keep you all night, so I'm just trying to get to the meat here in a second. This is all introduction still. Proverbs 21, verse 30. I want you to see this verse. Everybody there? There is, what's that next word? No. How much wisdom is there then? None. Nor understanding. That means no understanding, nor counsel. Notice these next three words. Against the Lord. Now stop right there and look up here a minute. God says, when I am living my life on purpose against the Lord, I will have zero, that's a big zero, wisdom. There is no wisdom. There is no understanding. There is no counsel. What does that mean? That means you won't listen to anything anybody tells you when you're living against the Lord. I see people like this all the time. They should be growing in grace. They should be growing in their wisdom. They should be making better decisions by now. They should be understanding the Bible a little bit better by now. They should be listening to counsel that comes from this pulpit by now. Instead, nothing, I mean absolutely nothing, is getting through to them. And I think that's why. Because they're living their lives against the Lord. What that means is rebellion. They know what they're supposed to be doing. They know where they're supposed to be going. They know how they're supposed to be acting. They know the way they're supposed to be dressing. They know what they're supposed to be listening to. They know what they're supposed to be watching. They know where they're supposed to be, but they do it else, otherwise completely against the Lord. And yet we wonder why they have zero wisdom.
Amen.
Preacher, I just don't understand why this keeps happening to me. I do. And God does. Because you are against the Lord. Now, I don't know about you. Well, I do know about you. I don't know if you want wisdom, but I know you need it.
Amen.
I want it.
Amen.
I need understanding.
Amen.
I need counsel. In other words, I need God to be able to tell me and accept that counsel and go with it. I mean, counsel is, you know, counsel is direction from God. When I say, God, I don't know what to do here. I don't know what decision to make here. And God gives me blessed counsel through prayer and through the Bible and through preaching and teaching. And that counsel is just such a blessing to my heart. Thank you, God. Now I know what to do. But see, if I don't do it, then I put myself against the Lord.
Yeah.
And then the next time He tries to tell me something, I don't understand. And then the next time, see, and then I just keep getting myself further and further against the Lord, away from God. See, what happened to Samson is this woman said, tell me the secret of your strength. So he lied to her about something, and then she said, okay guys, come on up here. This is what he said. And they came up here and they did exactly what he told her the night before. And he wakes up in the morning and he busts loose and he says, ha ha ha, and he kills the Philistines. And he goes back that same night and Delilah goes, Samson, you don't love me.
Yeah.
If you love me, you tell me the truth.
Yeah.
And we read these stories, and I read that over, and he did it three different times. The fourth time, he finally told her the truth, because the Bible says she vexed him. You know, that is the ultimate nag. That's what that is. By the way, ladies, don't nag your husbands. Goodness gracious. Don't be like a little chihuahua all day long. My soul. Let your man be a man for a change.
Amen.
Anyway, where was I? So she said, but Samson, you don't love me. Come here, boy. And she, you don't love me. Now tell me the truth. The Bible says he laid his head in her lap and she started petting him like a dog. Tell me the truth. Over and over again. Now how can a man be that stupid?
Yeah.
Because he's against the Lord. Because he kept going down, kept looking at the wrong thing, kept going down, looking at the wrong thing. He kept doing everything that he knew he wasn't supposed to do. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
So when it came time to have, just a little drop of wisdom would have been good right about then. I mean, just a little ounce, just a little dropper of wisdom would have been, Samson, get away from that woman. Over and over again. And for the longest time I thought, this is not real. This can't really happen. There's no way. And then God showed me that verse. And then I realized, wow, I've seen people like that. I know other people like that. No matter what I preach, no matter what I tell them, they don't do anything different. Why? Because their hearts are against the Lord. And so the wisdom just eludes them. It's like it just goes around their brain. The understanding just... You know, you ever heard a joke where it's just like, I didn't get that. It's right over your head. No understanding. Well, that's what happens to many Christians. The Bible's being preached and God's trying to say, will you please listen? This is what you need. And Well, and you're sitting there thinking, boy, I hope they heard that. And God said, what about you? Why didn't you hear that? Or here's another one. Or they don't even come to church. When their message is preached that they need the most, their chair's empty.
Yeah.
Because they're against the Lord. And so they have no wisdom. They have no understanding. They have no counsel. They don't. Nothing helps. And nothing ever changes. And don't you get frustrated when nothing ever changes? I do. I have to realize it's not God's Word. The problem is not with God. The problem is not with the Bible. The problem is with me. Something in my heart is rebellious against the Lord. Look in 22 verse 3, right below it, it says, a prudent man, I read that to you on Sunday. A prudent man foreseeth the evil. Why didn't he foresee what was going on? And hideth himself. Why didn't he run away? Because he had no wisdom. Because his heart was against the Lord. Go back to Judges here. Judges 16, verse 20. Well, let's read verse 19. She made him sleep upon her knees, like I told you. She called for a man. She caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. She began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. She said, Philistines be upon thee, Samson. Verse 20. And he woke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before, shake myself. And he wist, or he knew not, the Lord was departed from him. Listen to me now. He finally got so far away from God, he didn't even know that God had departed from him. All of this started, listen. All of this started when he took his eyes to the wrong place and started looking at the wrong thing. I want to show you quickly. I'm serious. This won't take long. What happened to Samson when God finally departed from him? God's presence, God's power. You say, well, I'm saved forever. I know that. But you still need God's power. You still need God's wisdom. You still need God's help. Or you will be overcome. But if you listen, if you don't listen tonight, then that's not my fault. I'm doing everything I can to make it pretty plain. Look what happened when Samson, when God finally departed from Samson. Verse 21. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes. Now listen to this. He lost his sight. Isn't that ironic? Listen now, look up here. It's as if God finally said, okay, Samson, son, if you won't stop living by sight, I'll take your eyes out. You know, there's a time when God has to get serious about chastening His children. Are you listening to me? That makes sense? There's a time when God has to get serious about getting our attention.
Yeah.
I think they finally had his attention. That word, put his eyes out, literally means they bored his eyes out.
Yeah.
They dug him out. Now, they didn't just put a hot iron on him and burn him. That would have been bad. They bore him there. Ouch. I mean, that's an understatement. Ouch. Both of them. He lost his sight. Remember, that's what was his problem all along. His sight, what he was looking at. And he lost his sight, and God said, finally, listen, there, now. Since you want to follow your eyes, I'll take them out. You know, listen, I don't want to get to that point where God has to get that serious with me. Can I tell you something? I hope you're not misunderstanding me. I don't want anybody to have to get to that point. But if you don't live by faith, if you continue to live by what you see, if you continue to let what you see control you, you're going to keep going down.
Amen.
I don't want to be the one who has to come and show up and realize that God has finally done something drastic to get your attention. I certainly don't want to be the one myself. I'm not exempt. But he lost his sight. Verse 21, it says, they put out his eyes and they brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. He did grind in the prison house. He lost his sight. But listen, then he was left in prison. Here's what I want to see quickly. Samson was finally forced to do nothing but begin to think about his life. You know, he was so filled with himself so foolish to keep laying in Delilah's lap. But finally, when God bore his eyes out and stuck him grinding in the prison, you know what he had to do? He had to start thinking a little bit. Are you listening to me? In other words, God got him to the place where he finally began to remember and realize and recognize how foolish he was. How rebellious he was. I don't know about you, friend, but God's had to do that to me. He hasn't bored my eyes out yet, thankfully. But he sure has had to get me to a place where all I could do was get alone with him. Now, he was in the prison grinding, but he couldn't see anything. And he wasn't talking to those other prisoners. I mean, he's a Jew, man. He's a Jewish guy. And they're all Philistines. They're all enemies. He's not having, you know, fellowship with those guys. He's blind, and he's grinding away, and all he's doing is thinking, why did I get this low? How did I get this low? Oh my God, I cannot believe where I'm at right now. I mean, can anybody relate a little bit to what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Where God gets you to a place in your life and you're astounded at how dumb you are. Amen. But you know, those are good times. Because without those times, you'd never get right. Without those times, you'd never get back up. Without those times, you'd never get fixed. I mean, Samson was at the absolute lowest he had ever been. I mean, he's blind forever and he's grinding away in the prison, and all he can do is think about, oh God, I cannot believe I have come to this place.
Yeah.
I cannot believe how low I've gotten.
Yeah. Yeah.
It makes me think probably maybe the prodigal son had a few of those thoughts.
Oh yeah.
I mean, oh God, I'm about to eat the pig slop. What am I doing here? And sometimes it's sad, but so many times God has to get us to that place before He'll get our attention. But I don't want to be there anymore. I don't ever want to be there again. Because, and you know what he should have done? He should have just obeyed the Word of God instead of walking by sight. He had spent so much time from one sinful pleasure to another sinful pleasure that he had never stopped and just got alone with God. But now he was. He lost his sight. He was left to his thoughts in prison. And then, this is interesting, look in verse 23. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their god, and to rejoice, for they said, our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. Well, you know, when you act and live foolishly, this is just by the way, God's name is disgraced and the gods of this world are glorified.
Yeah, right.
Do you hear what I'm saying? When you claim to be a Christian and then you live like the devil, God's name is disgraced and the God of this world is elevated and glorified. See, they said, Samson, we've got the big, wonderful, mighty Samson. We're going to have a party and we're going to rejoice and we're going to glorify our God, Dagon. And when the people saw him, they praised, look in verse 24, their God. That's sad. For they said, our God hath delivered him into our hands, our enemy. You know, could that be why America is in the condition it's in today? Because the world is looking at us Christians and the way we live and the way we act and the way we talk and the way we dress and the things we do, and they're saying, wow, if that's Christianity, I'm going to follow the God of this world.
Yeah.
Could that be that's why the nation is in the condition we're in and the election we're about to come up against? I believe America's going to get what she deserves.
Yeah. Right.
It's not because of the world, it's because of God's people.
That's right. Amen.
Living like Samson.
That's right.
I'm trying to help you, but you need to listen. Because we live our lives by what we see. I mean, listen. If Walmart's got it on sale and everybody else is buying it, man, I gotta have it! I can't afford it. Well, I put it on a credit card. I mean, I got credit cards too, don't get me wrong. But I'm not supposed to go just buying everything that everybody else has just so I can have it too. I mean, and dressing and looking and talking and being. I mean, listen, I know it sounds like a broken record sometimes, I think, but dear God, if you would just, maybe if we'd get it, then we could move on to something else. But instead, we're looking what everybody else has got, what everybody else is doing, how everybody else is dressing, what everybody else is talking about. We're watching the same things on TV. We know all the same songs. We know all the same music. Why are we not any different at all? God says, come out from among them and be ye separate. And we say, but oh God, that's too hard. It looks easier over here. I got to hurry, but the fact is, they were glorifying the devil because of Samson's low life. And all it was, Brother Ethan, was him living by what he saw.
Yeah.
That's all it was. But it sure got him in a big mess, didn't it? He lost his eyes. He was left to his thoughts in prison. But listen, God didn't die. Listen now. Verse 25, it came to pass that their hearts were merry. They were having a party. They were celebrating the fall of this Christian man. It'd be like the world celebrating the fall of the preacher, you know. The fall of the Christian. And they're all saying, ah, I told you it wouldn't last. Came to pass, their hearts were merry. They said, call for Samson, that he may make us a sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house. He made them sport. In other words, they just sat around and looked at him and gawked at him and laughed at him. They set him between the pillars. I mean, he became a gazing stock, just an absolute embarrassment. But I want you to notice verse 26. I love this. Samson said, notice, unto the lad that held him by the hand. Let's see. Brother Chris, come here a minute, please. Okay. Now, I don't know how tall Samson was. The Bible never tells us. But the Bible says that as he was blinded and he was at this party, there was a lad that held him by the hand. I'm blind, okay? Hold my hand. Don't worry. I'm not nothing weird. Hold my hand. Just pretend I'm your dad, okay? I'm blind and there's a little boy, a little lad, holding me by my hand, leading me around. You see how that works? Okay, that's all. Thank you. I love you, Brother Chris. Don't worry. But here's what I'm getting to this. Big, strong Samson, all of a sudden, is to the point where he's being led about by a little lad. And here's what I want to draw. Here's what I believe the Lord's trying to tell us tonight. That little lad represents the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Remember the Bible calls the Holy Spirit a still, small voice? Instead of being led about by what he saw, finally God got him to the place where he took away that, put him in prison, left alone with his thoughts. Listen, and now he's being led about by the Holy Spirit instead of his eyes. Isn't that a blessing?
Yeah.
Because that's where Christians are supposed to be.
Yeah.
It's like he said, Samson said unto that little lad that led him by the hand, suffer me that I may fill the pillars. In other words, he said, Holy Spirit of God, you lead me today. Don't let me be led by my sight. Holy Spirit of God, O thou Word of God, lead me today. See what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
He was finally humbled to the place where he was letting a little boy lead him around. And he said, young lad, will you please take me over here to the pillars of the house? He was completely dependent upon this little lad.
Yeah.
I love that because that's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Instead of me being led about by what I see and what I think, God, just take my eyes out, literally or figuratively, whatever. Just take my eyes out so I quit leading about by what I think. And Lord God, Holy Spirit, you lead me. You lead me. You see the difference there? That little boy didn't have the power to overcome Samson. That little boy wasn't going to fight Samson. That Samson had to let himself be led about by that little boy. You understand? We have to let ourselves be led about by God. We have to be filled with the Spirit. We have to walk in the Spirit. It's a personal choice that we need to make every single day. And I love it. It took a whole lot of suffering. It took a whole lot of affliction to finally get Samson to the place where he was led about by this little lad. But I see a wonderful blessing. God didn't forget him.
Amen.
Verse 28. After he's no longer living by sight. He's finally been left to his thoughts and understanding himself in prison. He's being led about by that little lad, which I believe is the Holy Spirit. He finally, look in verse 28, he learns how to pray. Oh, yes, I hope you're listening tonight. Samson called unto the Lord and said, "Oh Lord God, remember me, I pray thee." You know what he's saying? Strengthen me, I pray thee. You know what he's saying? He said, "Oh God, use me. Use me." No, there was nothing that Samson was praying before but selfish prayers. Selfish prayers. Give me that woman. Give me that woman. Give me that harlot. Give me this thing that I like that pleases me. And that's all he did, was demanding and demanding. And now he said, "Oh God, oh thou God, remember me, strengthen me, use me, God." Do you see the change in his attitude?
Amen.
And it all began when he stopped living by sight. Are y'all listening tonight? He learned to pray. He had a different spirit. He finally learned to pray correctly. And then, verse 29, Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, which it was borne up, of the one with the right hand, the other with his left. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." He bowed himself with all his might. The house fell upon the lords, upon the people that were therein. Notice, so the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. He lost his sight. He stopped living by sight. He was left to his thoughts in prison, where I believe he got his heart right with God finally. And he began to be led about by that little lad, that little still small voice. He learned to pray correctly. And finally, look, he lost his life in the service of his God.
Yeah.
Hey, listen to me, church. He wasn't concerned about his luxury anymore, his comfort. He wasn't even concerned about his life. He said, "Oh God, just use me this one last time. Just use me one more time." And he died on purpose. He sacrificed himself. Why? In the service of his God.
Yeah.
Well, this is a different man, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is a different man. You know why? Because he no longer was living by sight.
Yeah.
I hope you're getting this. I hope you're getting this. This is a blessing to my heart. By the way, if a message doesn't move the preacher, it ain't going to move anybody else. This thing blessed my heart before I ever started preaching, and I realized, oh God, just lose myself in your service. If you want to take my life, God, take it. Take my life and let it be. Besides, it's not mine anyway.
That's right, man.
God, if I can do more good for you in my death, than in my life? That's what the Bible says. He slew more in his death than he ever did in his life.
Yeah.
And God, if I can do more in my death than in my life, God, take me. Use me. Use me, Lord, however you want to use me. But this was a different man.
Yeah.
And it was all because he lost those eyeballs. Now, we don't have to lose our eyeballs. But we need to very, very much, desperately need to stop living by our eyeballs.
Yeah.
I mean, these elections look pretty bad.
Oh, man.
Our country, our nations, our the things that we see around us, it looks pretty desperate and bleak. But listen, hey, we still got a God in heaven. We still got a Bible that's still the Word of God. We still got a Holy Spirit that will lead us if we'll shut up and let Him.
Yeah.
You know what we need to do? We need to lose these eyeballs and start walking by faith.
Yeah.
And start losing ourselves in the service of our Lord. We'd have a different church. We'd have a different city. And these folks that are coming soul winning now and beginning to, that's what they're doing. You know what they're doing is beginning to say, Lord, it's not my day, it's your day. It's not my time, it's your time. It's not my strength, it's your strength. It's not me, Lord, it's all you. And just lose yourself in serving God. You may not die that very day like Samson did, but listen, if that's what God wants, then so be it.
Man.
I belong to Him.
Man.
But as long as I live by these eyeballs, I won't let Him lead me. Man, it's convicting. What are you setting before your eyes? Where are you taking your eyeballs? They're not taking you, you're taking them. Where are you taking them? What are you setting before them? On that phone, on that pad, on that TV, on that computer. What are you setting before your eyes?
Yeah.
Christians, we're destroying our lives. And we're rendering ourselves worthless to God. May God tonight take these eyeballs out. May we come up here and just lay our eyeballs on this old altar.
Yeah.
Say, God, I'm going to walk by faith. I'm going to live by faith. No more walking by sight.
Yeah.
I don't care what everybody else is doing. I want to do what you say, Lord God. Samson finally got that. He finally got that. Let's bow our heads tonight. Oh God. Lord, I know a lot was said tonight. Lord, I pray your people caught the message, understood the message. God, help us to stop focusing on all of our burdens and our problems, focusing on what everybody else is doing or saying, or focusing on what we want or don't want, looking at sinful pleasures, being drawn. Lord God, there's so much to say. But Lord, I pray that you'll help somebody tonight. As I bow here tonight, I want to follow your Holy Spirit's lead. And Lord, I feel like as I preach this tonight, Lord, I know that Joe and Cassandra are getting married tomorrow. God, I pray you'd help them not to try to have a marriage like everybody else, but Lord, to live their lives according to your word. God, not to gauge their marriage based on what they see in everybody else's lives, but Lord, to base their future on your word. Lord, we all need to get alone with you. Lay our old wicked eyeballs on the altar and say, God, no more. No more sight living, sight walking. God, I give it to you tonight. Lord, start with me. Lord, thank you for the message. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts tonight. Help us, God. Bless this invitation, I pray. with head bowed and eyes closed. I know I went long tonight, but I pray that the Lord will help you tonight understand what I was trying to say. Let's all stand to our feet tonight. The altars are open. We'll come and pray. You want to pray right there at your chair, whatever you want to do. What are you setting before your eyes? Where are you taking your eyes? What are you looking at? What are you letting control you? Tonight, would you please just be honest with God? Say, oh God, no more. I'm going to lay my eyeballs on this altar, Lord. I'm going to live by faith.